Good morning, Pine Lake Covenants. As I said, my name is Kyle Harmon, and I am one of the pastors here. I'm an interim associate pastor, and it's a privilege to get to preach with you all this morning, and an honor. And actually, God has been working on my heart quite a bit through this sermon series, The Hall of Faith. You know, we've been preaching through Hebrews 11, right? That is like our Hall of Faith, and reflecting on like different heroes of our faith in the chapter of Hebrews 11. And for me as a kid, I remember this passage. It's almost like, kind of like the Avengers of Christian, like of our forefathers and foremothers. It's like, you know, there's like, I don't know who the Hulk is, probably Moses. Samson is definitely the Hulk. Okay. I missed that one. I'm trying to think, but definitely, okay, today we're going to be preaching on Abraham. And I think he's got to be like the Captain America, right? Of the Hall of Faith. But seriously, like, this idea of the Hall of Faith, it's based on the Hall of Fame. And like, in our culture, if you know me, you know that I am kind of a rabid Colorado sports fan. Yes, I know. My wife would say it's a problem. I would say it's a hobby. But you know, whatever. Tomato, tomato. But I'm actually super excited that football season is like right around the corner. I've got like 6 fantasy football leagues coming up. I'm drafting. I'm really excited. But the other day, we were out in our cul-de-sac. We're there like every night when it's nice. We hang out with our neighbors. And I hear this little voice next to me, and it's like, "Daddy, look." And I looked over, and this is what I saw. Let's see. Might not be in there. No. Oh, there it is. Okay, that might be cute to you, but I was terrified. That is a Seahawks hat on my daughter. And I looked at her and I said, "You take that hat off right now." And she was like, "Ah!" And she took her hat off, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." Because I didn't realize how deep the lowercase t trauma goes about being a Denver fan in exile here up in Seattle. But I will say that I'm praising God that Russell Wilson is on neither of our teams this year. Because we can be friends again. We can be friends again. I don't have a beef with Seattle, right? Okay. But as a Denver sports fan, we got to celebrate all sorts of Hall of Famers. John Elway, come on, Steve Atwater, Terrell Davis, Randy Gradishar. I could keep going. It's okay. I don't need to. But we could just geek out on sports the whole time. But that's really not what this sermon is about, I promise. So but the Hall of Fame, it represents individual accomplishments, right, in our culture. But what's really cool about this Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith chapter is it's not about what people did. It's about what God did through them, right? We're celebrating what God did by their faith. So it's not just that Abraham did this or Moses did this. It's what God did through them. So the person that I said we're speaking about today is Abraham. And Abraham is referred to as the father of faith and the father of many nations. So let's just take a look at our scripture passage today. It's going to be Hebrews 11, of course. We're still in Hebrews 11. I know, shocking. And we're going to start with verse 1. So go ahead and open your Bibles, or I'll just read it here. So, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Amen. "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." This is a big chunk of scripture, but it's a lot of faithfulness of Abraham, and I think there's a lot we can learn from that. So would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you for this incredible chapter, one of my favorites of the Bible. God, thank you for the people, the saints who brought this forward, for your spirit inspiring this, God. And Lord, I thank you for the witness of your servant Abraham. God, I pray that you would show us, teach us how to be more like your servant Abraham in this passage, in this sermon today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what do we see in this passage about Abraham's faith? Well, I think the first thing that we see is that Abraham is called to get up and go to a place, right? He's called to get up and go. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but that's kind of crazy, right? That's kind of crazy. Be like, oh, God just says, get up and go, Abraham. And he got up and went. I was telling the band earlier, actually, that I love my dad, and he's probably watching. Love you, Dad. But my dad is one of the smartest people you'll ever meet, but he has probably the worst sense of direction in the world. And it's no joke. So, like, if we were going someplace and I'd be like, Dad, where do you think the car is? He'd be like, over there. Everybody would be like, okay, cool. And we'd just start. And like 9 out of 10 times, that was the right way to go. But anyway, like the idea that Abraham was called to get up and go to a place that he had no idea. And last week, Pastor Austin, he was actually preaching on the narrow path, right? Following the narrow path and the difficulty in following that, but doing that together. But I think what we learned from Abraham here is that we're not promised the destination or the outcome. Let me say that again. We're not promised the destination or the outcome. We're called to get up and go, but we're not promised the destination. And I think there's this, like, the next part of this, sorry, my pages are sticky here, a little sweaty. But the second thing that I think this passage teaches us is that Abraham is called to be a stranger in a foreign land, right? It says he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob after him. And I don't think this is by accident. The city Abraham was from, Ur, or Ur, however you want to say it. If you're American, you'd say Ur, but Ur is how they would say it back then. An incredibly rich city. They've still unearthed some of the ancient parts of the city in Iraq. And it was incredibly rich. It had canals that went through it. And the technology was amazing. And Abraham is from this city. That's where it says in the Bible. And it said he had livestock, and it said he had servants, and it said he had all this stuff. And God says, go to a place I will show you. Leave all of this behind, right? God wanted Abraham to live as a foreigner because this world is not our home. This world is not our home. And the kingdom of God is our home. And it says, Abraham was looking forward to the city with a foundation whose architect and builder is God. Whew, that's powerful, right? I think that's powerful. God wanted Abraham to live as a foreigner and a stranger on purpose because he wanted him to rely on God, to have faith that God would provide, not just his own richness and family and comforts. And this actually reminds me in the New Testament of the rich young ruler, right? This is almost exactly the same story with the exact opposite outcome, right? God calls Abraham to leave his comfort and wealth and privilege behind, and he goes. But then the rich young ruler in Mark 10, he says this to Jesus. He wants to inherit eternal life, right? And that's his goal. His goal is not to follow Jesus. That's important. It's how can I get eternal life? So he starts with that. And he says, Teacher, all your commands I've kept since I was a boy. I've been such a good person. I got this. Jesus, you know, me and you, we're tight. I love God. I do all the right things. And Jesus looked at him and he said, and he loved him. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. I don't know, that might resonate in America, right? That might resonate where we have great comfort and privilege and wealth. But Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11, it teaches us that God calls us to be a stranger. Now, I'm not saying, oh, the rich person can't be a follower of God, right? That's clearly not what Scripture says. Scripture does say it's hard. It's harder. And the reason it's harder is because comfort is an idol in our culture, right? And comfort is one of those idols that actually keeps us from faith, that keeps us from relying on God. And the more that we rely on that comfort, the less we're going to rely on God. And so I think the third thing that we can learn about Abraham's faith is that when God sent him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, he obeys without knowing the outcome. I've said this. I'm going to say this a lot today. You're going to hear this a lot. Obeys without knowing the outcome, right? And Whew, this is just a mind-boggling story for me. It was before I became a parent, but now as a parent, like I picture my little Addie taking her up that mountain and God saying, okay, well, I need you to, you know, bind her up and sacrifice her. And Abraham like actually follows through with this command, even though he doesn't know the outcome. He trusts. He believes in God's character, but he doesn't know the outcome. The last thing I think we can learn here that this teaches us is that God's faithfulness is not dependent on our expectations. God's faithfulness is not dependent on our expectations being met. And I think sometimes we think, if God was really there, he would have healed my friend, my father, my child, right? We put that condition on faith. And this week, I was actually in the cul-de-sac. Again, lots of cul-de-sac stories. We got little kids, so we're always just out there hanging out, and it's great. But I had my next-door neighbor who is not a Christian. And we've talked about faith for a few years now, but very, you know, lightly. And he told me that he stopped believing in God when his best friend got brain cancer and died. And he said, I prayed so hard, but God didn't show up. And obviously in the cul-de-sac in that moment, I'm not going to like, oh, well, you know, here's the theology behind that. No. That's not going to help, right? I just said, I'm so sorry. I love you. I think God loves you. And we're here for you, because it was pretty recent. But that's what happens, right? That's what happens when we make God's faithfulness dependent on our expectations, what we think the outcome should be, right? What we think the outcome should be. And there's even this verse. We didn't read it, but we'll read it right now. There's this verse in here that just astounds me. In verse 13, it says this. All these people, in Hebrews 11, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised to them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on this earth. Right? That's right there, that God's saying, like, we're not guaranteed the outcome we want. And even the promises given to them, they didn't receive them in this life. And that goes back to, like, we are foreigners and strangers in this earth. Every healing we pray for in this earth is a temporary healing, right? We're all going to have new bodies. We're all going to be redeemed and live in the kingdom. So every one of those healings is temporary. And we have no idea what the Lord wants to do in the kingdom with those healings, because they're not about us. They're about the kingdom. I don't know. This isn't on here, but I need to say this today, right? So these are, I think, are the things we can learn from this section. But I think for us today, some of this is important. And just as Abraham is called to get up and go, and God will show him that land, right? I think we today, we're called to get up and go, and God is going to show us the way. We're called to get up and go. And at Pine Lake Covenant, we talk about finding and following Jesus a lot. You're going to hear that a lot, especially this next year. If you haven't heard finding and following Jesus, you're going to hear it. It's our vision here. It's what we want to do together. And I think we as, I don't even know, Sammamishians? what is it, Sammamishians? We have a tough time with this, right? We think that God is going to send us the Google Maps link, right, about where we're going. Sorry, Tim, Apple Maps, the Apple Maps link. So I love Apple Maps. That's what I use, Tim. We think God's going to send us the pin, right? There we go, and we got like 90, or even when I was in college, the MapQuest, you know, you print out, yeah, right? Come on, my old people, you know what I'm talking about. Me too. Print out the MapQuest. My wife says that I never clean out my car, and I disagree, but the other day I opened my glove box and I found the MapQuest printout for my directions to college. And I think she's got a point, maybe. She's got a point. But anyways, we think that that's what we're going to get, right? God's going to send us this, like, oh, here's the whole, every turn of the way, and maybe if you want to skip tolls or traffic, that's how you do it. But no, there's actually this song, and I know you've all probably heard it, but thy word, sing it with me, come on, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Very nice, Pine Lake Covenant, way to go. But that song, it comes from passages of scripture that talk about like God being a light to our path, right? But actually, I think we think of that Apple Maps. We think of maybe that lighted path, right, where nobody can sue us because it's lighted every foot. No, that's not what it is. This is actually based on the Levites and the people of God wandering the desert and wandering the Sinai. And sometimes at night, they would have to walk with the Ark of the Covenant. And if you drop the Ark of the Covenant, what happened? You die, right? So what did they do? They tied these little lights to their legs, and it would shine down so they could see every step. And they were taking like half a foot little steps. This is as far, because they didn't want to die, of course, right? They didn't want to drop the Ark of the Covenant. And have you ever seen when all the power goes out like it did last week in candlelight? You can see like that far in front of you, right? That's what these people had. They didn't have LEDs. And so that's what they're talking about. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as you think of that, it's like, We are not promised the outcome. We are just promised that next step, that barely next step. That's what God's going to show us as we draw close to him. And I think the next thing I think that we're called here is just as Abraham, we're called to live as strangers and foreigners. Like the rich young ruler and Abraham, God is calling us to give up our comforts and follow him. Because you see, we learn this in the rich young ruler and in Abraham, we can't do both. We cannot serve two masters. And if we are serving our comfort and allowing our comfort to dictate how we live our lives, who we talk to, who we minister, what we do throughout the day, we won't serve God. It'll distract us. And I've said it once, but comfort is an idol and an enemy of the kingdom. So for us today, I think that it begs the question, where have I become comfortable? We're not promised comfort. We're promised joy and goodness in the land of the living. Comfort is an enemy of that. So I think that's one thing we are called to today. And then one final thing I think here is that as Abraham obeyed God to the point of sacrificing his son, we chatted about that a little bit, we're called to obey, again, even when we don't know the outcome. And this story of Abraham taking his son Isaac up the mountain, it's an incredible story in actually the whole Bible. It's one of the most famous stories of the Bible. It's called, I'll give you a little Professor Kyle here. It's called the Akedah, okay? And the Akedah means binding in Hebrew. And so it's about the binding of Isaac. And actually this story is in, right, it's in Christianity, it's in Judaism, it's in Islam. This is a very famous story as far as faith goes. But the beauty of finding this in our Bible, and I think what this says about God and Jesus, who we serve, I think it exemplifies the willingness of the followers of God to listen and obey his commands without knowing the outcome. And sometimes we read the Bible, and we've heard this story a million times. Come on. You heard this story when you were like 3 years old, right? In Sunday school with the flannel boards. You heard it. Everybody heard it. But we know the end of the story. And that can honestly, that can get in our way sometimes. Because Abraham goes up that mountain ready to sacrifice his son without knowing what God's going to do. And let me just kind of dive into this a little bit. In Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac are actually ascending Mount Moriah for the sacrifice. And it says this in verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And again, that seems reasonable. We hear that. We're like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, we know the end of the story. But one of the coolest things I got to learn in seminary is that passage of scripture is actually written as a lament. Every time that Abraham responds, it's in a lament. And that's part of the reason we study scriptures. We it's deeper than just the words, right? There's poetry, there's lament, there's all sorts of genres and styles in our Bible. And the fact that Abraham is lamenting, that tells me that Abraham was doubting. That tells me that Abraham wasn't sure. He knew his God. He trusted his God. He had walked with his God to a land that God would show him and give him. But God told him to sacrifice his son. And as he's walking up that mountain, he doesn't know. He is unsure. So they keep going together, right? But I think the important part about this is that I was raised in a evangelical church, and there's a lot of little sayings that come out of like evangelical churches, which we are, of course. But this was like a Pentecostal evangelical church, and one of those sayings was, you know, the opposite of faith is doubt, right? That was what I was told, right? Don't doubt. Don't take any of your doubts to God, Kyle. Doubt is not good. Doubt is of the enemy, and you just need to have more faith, right? Anybody heard that? Give me some hands. You hear that growing up? Okay, I'm going to say this right now. The fact that Abraham is doubting as he's going up, as he's celebrated as the father of faith in the Bible, shows me that the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. Certainty is the opposite of faith. And you're like, wait, what do you mean by that, Pastor Kyle? What does that mean? Right? Okay, well, let me explain. Certainty says that we have all the answers, right? Certainty says that we don't have to trust God. We've already got it all figured out. Certainty is actually what a lot of Christians want and what a lot of churches are selling right now. And if you want certainty at Pine Lake Covenant, I'm going to promise you that Pastor Austin, myself, Becca, the leadership team, that's not what we're selling. We are selling faith. Which takes faith to find and follow Jesus. And if we're certain of the outcome, if we're certain we know where Jesus is already going, right? Why it doesn't take faith. Why would we need faith? And if Abraham has doubts and he's celebrated as a hero of our faith, so can you. Go through the Psalms. David, time and time again, he's taking his doubts to the Lord, right? He's taking his doubts to the Father. Faith and doubt both lead us to God. And self-assuredness that you are right and certain of things only God can understand is a cheap substitute for faith. Let me say that one more time. Self-assuredness that you're right and certain of things that only God can understand, the mysteries of the universe, that's a cheap substitute for faith. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants our faith. He wants our love, our relationship. So we're called to obey even when we don't know the outcome. So let me share a story from my own life where God called me to obey that I didn't know the outcome. And I shared the story of my illness before I came to Pine Lake Covenant a little bit, but I'm going to go into a little more detail today. So about 10 years ago, my wife and I moved back home from the Dominican Republic, and we had this amazing, incredible gift of moving into a home, you know, in Bellevue, which we could never afford today. Inflation. But also, you know, I started and I had this amazing role as the director of modern worship at Bellevue Presbyterian. It was just a ton of God's blessing on our life, and it was amazing. But almost right at that same time, I started to have a lot of problems speaking and a lot of problems singing and a lot of problems with a sleep disorder that was affecting all that stuff. And so I would ration some of my words, or I would skip a meeting, or I would do this, or I would make other people sing so I didn't have to sing. And it was really, really hard. And pretty soon, it got so bad that I could only have one or two conversations a day. And I couldn't sing at all. And I was a worship director. That's not going to work, right? So I had to leave my role at Bellevue Presbyterian, and we had to rent out that house, and we had to move in with our in-laws, and this was 2017, and life came to a screeching halt. And we even postponed our plans of having a family, and that was so hard on me because I always wanted to be a dad. So we felt like God was leading me to seminary, but we didn't know why. What was I going to do without a voice, right? And I ended up needing an ankle restructure where I couldn't walk for like 4 months, and I couldn't run for almost 18 months, and I gained a bunch of weight because what else, you know, what could I do? I couldn't exercise. So I got to admit, it was an incredibly dark time in my life. and I didn't know who I was without singing or speaking or pastoring or running or exercising. It was almost like all of the things that brought meaning and joy to my life outside of the Lord were taken away in 2 years. And it was at this moment that I was lamenting to God right before I went to seminary in 2017. And God actually gave me this song to sing in the midst of that struggle. It was this dark night of the soul. And I remember I wrote this song at Bellevue Presbyterian in the sanctuary where on Christmas Eve I used to lead thousands of people in worship. And I was weeping like Abraham, lamenting while I wrote this song. And at that time, this song, it was just for me to get through that time. But I think it's important today because this song is about, it's about faith that doesn't rely on the outcome. It's about faith that doesn't know the ending and faith that is in response to God's faithfulness and not our circumstances. And I stand here today, I mean, a father of two kids. Ooh, I don't know if I can get through this. A pastor, a worship leader. I've seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen? Thank you. Amen. And this is where Hebrews 11 helps me because it's not about me. It's not about that outcome, but it's about God. And God has done this and what God has done. So as I play this song, I want you to think for yourself what God is calling you to be obedient in. Where is God calling you to be a foreigner and stranger on this earth? Where is God calling you to believe that his faithfulness is enough? What is that next right step, right? That small little step that God is giving us. Not the maps link, but the next right step. And how is God calling you to let go of your expectations? Because we serve a good, good Father who has good gifts for us. We're going to have prayer ministers available as well, so if you'd like to be prayed for, go ahead and do that as I play this. Darkest just before the dawning of the morn, but I haven't seen the light in many days. As days grow into weeks and months and years and even more, I am doubting that I'll see the sun again. Oh, and though I fear I'll never see the light with my own eyes, I know the sun shall rise. Oh, the sun is such a shifty thing, it hides throughout the years. The seasons change and color fades and time winds. And though the light may hide away in darkness or the gray, oh, I know the sun shall rise. It shall rise when the darkness fades. It shall rise though these afflictions may remain, and it shall rise though I may never see the light with my own eyes. I know the sun shall rise. I have chased the sun to feel its warmth and never lose its light, but I see it dipping under the horizon. As my body tires, I feel the fears inside me start to rise. But I dare not face this darkness I have hidden. Yet in faith I turn and plunge into the darkness of the night. For I know the sun shall rise. May remain and it shall rise. Though I may never see the light with my own eyes, I know the sun shall rise. It shall rise. When the darkness fades, it shall rise. Though these afflictions may remain and it shall rise. See the light with my own eyes. I know the sun shall rise. Yeah. I know the sun will rise, Lord God. So Lord God, would you show us right now those places, God, maybe we've given up hope. The places, God, we're holding on to the outcome. God, would you show us where you've called us to get up and go? Where you've called us to be strangers and foreigners. Thank you, God, that you are a God who is faithful, who is good. That your promises endure forever and your mercies are new every morning. We praise you, God, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.